So yeah, that's our school. A little bit about us. If you're interested, you can talk to one of us a little bit more about it. But I just want to say that the school has completely changed and transformed my life because of God has given me the faith and the boldness to go outside of the walls. What you see in most of those pictures is us doing outreach. Connor knows this very well. We do outreach. It was changed this year, but last year was every Thursday we would go out for a couple hours and just love on people. And so that's what most of those are. And we don't always heal the sick. We just love on them and just tell them that Jesus loves you. And that's in the hardcore of the city in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, as well as we go to the malls and stuff like that and just share the love of God for people. So my name is Amber Whitney, and I'm a second-year student at GSSM. And the school, again, is 1, 2, or 3 years. It's on-site, online. We have satellite schools. We have a summer intensive. That's a 3-week program in June. And you get everything that we learn in 9 months, you get in 3 weeks. So that's why they call it intensive. And so you go to school from like 9 to 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And you have speakers just like we would have, the same speakers. And it's just amazing to see God invest. And there's people that come all over the world. We have people from England, Brazil, and stuff like that. So it doesn't matter where you are. We've had students right out of high school that are like 17, 18, all the way up to 70s, 80s. It doesn't matter what age. Just like it said, truck driver, minister, waitress, anything. God has a purpose and a destiny for each and every one of us. So I'm going to just tell you a little bit about myself. Again, my name is Amber. I'm 28 years old. And I'm a PK, which is a pastor's kid. I was raised all my life in the church. My parents are both pastors. They went to Zion Bible Institute back in the day and in Rhode Island, what the name was. And so you can see I was, every time the church was open, I was required to be there. And so for me growing up, I think I accepted the Lord like a million times. It felt like any time that, you know, there was like a service with kids or anything that, you know, you just always do it, even though, you know, it, you know, you don't really knew what it meant until I was about 13, 14 years old. And God just began to reveal himself. But along that road, you know, becoming a teenager, you have these expectations that you have to live up with for especially a PK. And you have people look at you, and they're like, oh, man, your daughter shouldn't be doing that. It's 10 times worse if your daughter does it than my daughter. And so you have this expectation that you have to completely break every single one of those expectations off of your life. And that's what I had to do because it was really important because I couldn't advance my walk with God until I did all that. And so I went to Christian school. Graduated with about three. There was three of us in my graduating class because it was a small Christian school. And so then I decided to go to Valley Forge Christian College because that was the right thing to do. It wasn't really what I wanted to do, but it was mom and dad went to Bible school. I guess I should go to Bible school. You know, it's the right thing to do. And so I went and majored in psychology, did a youth minor, but I love that school very dearly, and that school taught me a lot, but it was chapel 5 days a week. You were expected to go to church on Sunday, so it felt like, again, the monotony of just, it felt like you were just going to church to go and, like, you're putting in your time card. Okay, God, I went to church, now I can go do my life, and it became this routine for me because I wasn't getting anything out of it. My walk with God, just instead of going closer to God, I drew further away from God. Because I just began like, man, you see a lot in the church. And some people are not nice. And being the pastor's daughter, like, you see your parents crying when nobody else sees them. And so you have to deal with all these things that come to your family and all this stuff. So I remember I began to not trust anybody. I built walls sky high up to the ceiling so that I couldn't let anybody close to me. Because I was like, if I let them close to me, then they're just going to hurt me. Because that's what happens, you know, in the church. That's what I saw. That was the example that I saw. And so I went to Valley Forge, did all that. My senior year was the hardest year of my life. My parents both were sick. And so my heart really wasn't into school. I just basically, by the grace of God, passed. By the grace of God, I passed and got out of there. And I was like, I told my parents, I said, I never want anything to do with ministry. I told God, I said, I will never, ever, ever be a minister. I will never be in ministry. Never. If this is what ministry is all about, I want nothing to do with it. And that's only because of our family was hurt by a specific church. And I basically, you know, not physically lost my dad, but emotionally, and, you know, he was just totally off. And so I was like, man, if this is what the ministry is all about, I can't handle this anymore. So I went, instead of going up, I went away from God. And, you know, my brother today is not serving the Lord because of he saw everything happening. And I thank God that God saved me from going and departing from him and just being able to see that those people don't know who they are in Christ and they don't know how to love. And that's what God showed me. And so I became, you know, dry. I was like, God, where are you? I remember saying, God, if you're real, then why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why are you allowing this to happen to our family? God, you're not real. I would say that a lot. I'd be like, God, this is totally fake. This is not real. I don't sense you anymore. I can't feel you around me. And I'm a worshiper and I'm a musician, worship leader. And so to me, the presence is everything to me. And so when I completely couldn't feel him anymore, I was like, God, you're just, I don't know, it was just for a time, and I want nothing to do with it anymore. Because God, you're not real. Because if God, you were real, then none of this would be happening. But that's not true. Being a Christian sometimes is not easy. You know, we go through life just like normal people. We have our ups and we have our downs. Just like Pastor Tim was saying, you know, he had to confess because he was thinking those thoughts about the numbers. And it's crazy because God doesn't, he forgives us for those thoughts. And he can still use us no matter what. And so I remember our family just went downhill fast. We were like probably the closest family and we turned to be like the most distant family. My dad could not step foot in a church for a while. We would go to a service and he would end up leaving. And he'd leave my mom in there. He's like, find your own way home. I can't stay here. I'm like, oh, okay, that's awesome. And so like him being the rock of the family, you see, just like, man, this is horrible. So my relationship with God became stale and distant. Like I said, I didn't feel his presence. I wasn't hungry for more of him. I was just like, all right, I'm just done. I'm going to go hang out with my friends and this, that, and the other thing and just live my life. And so then a couple years later down the road, my dad began to go to Voice of the Apostles and Voice of the Prophets with Global Awakening conferences. And before that, though, he had to have a wake-up call because he was like, God, I want nothing to do with this. On Christmas morning, we almost lost him because he used to be Mr. Christmas, And that year that all that happened, he turned to be the Grinch. And he was like, no, nothing whatsoever. And so he was like, you know what, I'm done. So he left early in the morning and on Christmas morning. And he's like, God, I can't be like this for my family anymore. I'm supposed to provide for my family. I'm supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be the rock of the family. And God, if you're allowing this to happen, it's just easier if I end my life. So then he decided to take his truck and he drove down one of the main highways. And he said, all right, God, I'm going to do it. I have nothing else to live for. I don't feel you. You're not around us anymore. And he's just like, I'm done. And then he's driving, and usually there's a lot of cars that come down, but not one single car came down the other lane. And then he just started to sob, and as he pulled over in this, where he goes fishing, like his spot where he, and then all of a sudden this bright light just showed in his truck. And it was the presence of God, and he had this encounter that completely transformed his life just in minutes. And God released hope and faith back into him. And then when he came back home, you know, because my mom was like, I don't know if I'm going to see my husband again. And so he came home, and she's like, that's my husband. That's the normal guy that I love so much. And so he was like a different person. So then he became so hungry, and he was never satisfied with where he was with God, and he just wanted more and more and more. So then he became interested with Global Awakening, and God really ministered to him through those conferences. And so after college, though, I told him, I said, I'm done. I never want to go back to school. That was the worst year of my life. I'm just done. I don't, especially ministry school. No, I'm not doing it. So he comes back and he goes, guess what? I said, I'm not going. He said, well, you don't even know what I have for you. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm not going. And so he's like, here. And he actually gives me the promotional video that's out there to GSSM. And I was like, I told you, I'm not going. I said, I'm done with ministry school. I'm done with school, but especially ministry school. And I was like, no.
Wait.
What?
How did you know?
What?
How did you know what he was going to ask you?
I don't. It didn't matter. I guess I just knew my dad that I was just like, no. Like, just, you know, I was just like, no. And so, because he always brought home gifts, and he always, still does, like from conferences. They may be the smallest things, but he always brings home something. And so I played it in respect for him, and all of a sudden I hear God say, you are to go here. And I was like, I don't think so, God. No, I'm not going. I told you I'm done with all this. And he was like, no, you're going to go here. So I fought with God for about 3 years, and I didn't win, obviously. Obviously. And so I was just like, okay, I give up. And he went to another conference, and they prophesied to him about me. They're like, your daughter needs to come to GSSM. They didn't even know me. They didn't even know him. And it was a student at that time and came up and said, if she doesn't go, she's not ever going to go. This is the time. This is where when she needs to go. She needs to just go. It doesn't matter what she wants. It doesn't matter what she's thinking. It doesn't matter if she has the finances. She just needs to go. And so he comes home. He goes, guess what? Yeah, you have to go. I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, okay. So last year, came to GSSM, and for the first time in my life, even though I went to Bible college, I still could hide because it was a bigger school, but our school at GSSM is very small. We have 22 in the second class, and we have like 60 or something like that in the first year class with Connor, and so it's not easy to hide in that small of a crowd. So I got there, and I was like, oh, gosh, okay. Walls still up, not allowing anybody in. And the director, he kept going, this is a safe place. These are people you can trust. And that's all I remember from the first week, because he kept saying it over and over and over and over again. I was like, but God, you said that before. I've heard this before, and you end up getting hurt. Why would I allow my walls to come down? And God's like, well, if you do it, I promise it's a safe place. So I began to let my walls down, and I began to let people in. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't under the shadows of my parents. I could no longer hide behind my parents or my siblings because I'm the youngest. And so I was known as not the PK. I was known as Amber, just another student. And so, so cute. And so God just completely, once I began to open up and release everything, God just began to do a work in me. And for the first time in my life, I really knew how good God was. And for the first time in my life, I knew what my purpose was. And I knew what my destiny was. Because the first year is all about identity. They drill identity into you and who you are in Christ and what your purpose is and what your destiny is and all this stuff and the foundational stuff. And I just was like, wow. And for the first time, Christianity wasn't boring for me. They brought a whole new light about it. There was healings happening. There was like manifestations of the presence of God. And for the first time, it was the longest time that I could not feel the presence of God. So I remember I was sitting in GSSM and I just began to weep because all of a sudden I would feel, sorry, I began to feel the presence of God again. And it was like, God, you've never left me and you're never going to leave me. Despite what I may think, you're always going to be right there with me. And so I began to get a deeper hunger for God. And again, it was no longer a routine for me. I wasn't punching in the clock anymore. I was excited for the first time to come to class. I was excited to come. And even though I'm a worshiper, I was excited to enter into the presence of God. And God just began to, and for the first time in my life, this is crazy, but I always thought, a lot of people think that hearing from God is just like so hard. They don't realize that a spontaneous thought, that if you're praying for somebody, all of a sudden a name pops in your head, that's God telling you, and that's God speaking to you to pray for that person. And it never dawned on me. I always thought it was an audible voice, and sometimes it is. But a lot of the times, it's not. And so once I began to love myself, really love myself, and really know who I was, then my hunger for God increased, and I never became satisfied with my life. I wanted more and more and more and more. And at GSSM, you get a lot. But God just gives you this, I don't know. He gives you this no limitation kind of a thing, and you're just able to receive everything that God has for you in that time. God will reveal what he needs you to hear and what you need to begin to feel and when the time is right. And so I have one question for you tonight. Do you want to hunger after God like never before, or are you satisfied with where you're at? Are you satisfied with the status quo Christian life? Or do you want more? I know, it sounded like rumbling. I was like, whoa. It's like thunder. That was crazy. So, yeah. Are you satisfied with where you're at? Are you satisfied with just coming to church on Sundays or when you have a different service? Are you satisfied with just going to Sunday school? Or do you want more? When you're reading the Word, does God begin to reveal different things in your life? And as you start to begin to know who you are in Christ and to begin to love yourself, then God is going to give you more and more and more. And more things are going to happen to you. And as you begin to say, God, here am I. I'm just a vessel. Use me. Randy Clark says, I'm a coin in your pocket. Spend me any way you want. And it's so true, because we are his. It's not anything to do with us. It's the Holy Spirit and God working through you. So again, the question is, do you want more of him? The definition of the word hunger is the discomfort, weakness, or pain caused by a prolonged lack of food, to have a strong desire or craving. Is your desire to seek more of him every day, or just to go through life day by day, routine after routine? I think the greatest problem in the church today is that people have lost their hunger for God. They don't know what it is anymore to become hungry for God. They're just satisfied with the three worship songs and the sermon. They just don't want more. They don't want to receive any more. If I have one goal this evening, is that I hope and pray that God begins to stir up your hunger and your desire so that you receive and that you want more and not more, and that you're never satisfied. You're never satisfied with where you are with God. That God, as you read your Bible, God would begin to reveal things that you've never read before. That you would begin to understand things, and as the worshipers are up here, that you guys would begin to sense the presence of God in this room like you've never sensed him before. That God would just come in so heavy that you guys are just, it doesn't matter if there's a word sung or not. Because you're just so focused on God, it doesn't matter. So if you turn with me to Philippians 3:10. It says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly. I'm going to read it again. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly. So this evening I'm going to give you just three basic points. Number one is, God alone can satisfy our hunger and our thirst. He doesn't need media. He doesn't need music. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. Number two is, we will not be hungry for God until we taste of his goodness. We need to stop focusing on the bad things that are happening in our lives, and we need to focus on the good things. Good things. You have a shelter over your head. You have food on your table. You have a place to come and worship. Those are good things. And number three is, we are too easily satisfied by worldly things. And then in the end, I'm just going to sing a song over you guys, and then we're just going to open the altar. If you want to receive more, we are here to pray for you. So number one, God alone can satisfy our hunger and our thirst. You look at the story of David in the Bible. David was a man after God's own heart. He was hungry. When he would be in the fields, he'd be worshiping God. He was never satisfied with his life. He wanted more and more and more. If you turn in Psalm 63:1-3. Psalm 63:1-3. Says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. That's so good. He wants us to thirst after him. He wants us to hunger after him. He can't wait to spend time with his children. He longs to spend time with every single one of us. He wants us to not just run through life day after day, routine after routine. He wants us to be able to say, God, here am I. I'm just going to take a minute. And God, I just want you to speak to me right now. And this is my time with you. Turn away, turn off your phones, turn off all distractions, and just say, God, what do you have for me in this moment? God, I want to hunger and I want to thirst after you. And I want to learn more and I want you to teach me. And sometimes God allows us to go through the wilderness to cause us to hunger and thirst after him. That's so true. Being a Christian is not, it's not easy sometimes. Yes, we get tempted. Yes, we still have to work. It's just life. We're not special compared to a normal person. We live life the same as any other person. So we have trials and temptations that we have to deal with. But sometimes God will bring those into our path to cause us to hunger and thirst after him. I know this year, I've been tested and tried, and I almost gave up so much. Because last August, we went to the conference, and at the conference, the students are supposed to work and stuff like that. And before that, my family went a couple days early to spend time together and go to the beach and have fun and stuff. And I walked into the bathroom. My mom was behind me. Our friend was behind her. It was dark. Didn't see the water on the floor. There was a half inch of water. When I stepped into the restroom, my feet I lost it. I tried to grab on anything I possibly could because I knew I was falling and I was going down hard. And so I fell on my knees, then I slammed my shoulders, and then my head bounced up on the tile, bounced up and hit again. I should have died. I ended up with a concussion. I have a problem with my left knee and my right shoulder. Like I said today, I was supposed to go for surgery a couple weeks ago, and that fell through. And so through August, between all this pain and dealing with all the doctors and dealing with, you know, every obstacle that came, especially with the concussion, I could not sit, I couldn't drive, I couldn't open my eyes. It was horrible. But a day after, I went to the conference and just sat there, and I was like, God, I don't know why this happened, and I don't understand. But a few weeks ago, before this all happened, I had a prophetic word. And the prophetic word was about, Amber, you're about to go into the biggest battle of your life. Just know, it's going to be hard, he said. And the guy didn't even know me. He didn't know I was a ministry student. I was just a visitor in a church. Didn't know who I was. And he said, get ready, because you're about to go into the biggest battle of your life, and it's going to be hard, and you're going to want to give up. But God is going to give you the faith and the grace to make it through, and know that in the end, you are going to make it. And after that accident, I was like, oh, wow. I guess that prophetic word was right. And so one of the students come up to me, and she goes, I have a question to ask you. And I was like, what? And she goes, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to ask God where the angels were in that bathroom when you fell. So I asked God, and I paused, and I began to cry, because God was like, there was one sitting on the toilet. And how, not in a bad way, not that way. Please don't take it that way. Oh my goodness, stop laughing. No. And so, no, not that way. So I began to cry because the way I went in the stall, my head should have hit the toilet when I fell. But something, even my mom saw me, something pushed me backwards, and I was able to fall flat on the ground and not hit anything except for the floor. And that just was like, man, even though I went through this, God was right there, even in that time, even when I didn't feel angels around. I didn't feel, I was just going about my day. I didn't make any sense. And so from August to January, I'd say, I went through doctor after doctor, MRI after MRI, dealing with county people because I didn't have insurance. And God, I was like, I don't know how the heck I'm going to do this. How am I going to pay for all these bills? And God was like, it's okay. I have this. And I was like, no, God, I don't think you do. I was like, do you see these bills that are coming to my house? Yes, Amber, I have this. I'm still there for you. And so then I went through, you know, Connor and Grace and Abby can tell you, this year was hard. I almost gave up. I was like, God, I can't do this. I can't endure this pain and go to school and have a job and do all this. I just can't do it. I just can't. And I began to miss school because all of a sudden I went into this depression mode. And I allowed the enemy to get a hold of me. Not in a bad way, but I allowed him to make me worry, to fear, to not understand, to begin to feel all alone when I knew that God was around me, that I knew that if I would went to school, I have brothers and sisters that are right there standing beside me. But the enemy likes to make us feel like we're all alone. And that's when he speaks to us the most, because he knows that if you're alone, then he can whisper, constantly whisper. And that's exactly what happened to me. But in January, we did, every January, the school does prayer and fasting for a week. And I was like, okay, God, I've done this before. I'm doing this because the school is making me do this. I didn't feel anything. And so did the different days, we focused on different things. Like the first day, we focused on, I think, like churches. The second day was nations. Then it was the local church and global awakening. And then the last day was yourself. And that was, I think, the hardest day because they had different activations for you to go through. And then all of a sudden, I began to weep. And I was like, something broke that last day. And all the depression and all the sadness and everything just completely left. When I starved my physical body and just hungered after God and allowed God to fill me up in that time instead of having food to fill me up, I spent time with God and I read his word more. And it broke. Something completely broke. I remember going back to school and they're like, whoa, something's different with Amber. And it's a good different. It was like my normal self. And so sometimes God will allow those things to for us to go through, to cause us to hunger and thirst after him more and more. But it's the enemy's job to steal, kill, and destroy. And he likes to steal. He likes to kill. And he likes to destroy people. He loves to distort our perception of who God is and who we are in Christ. Because if we would get a hold of who we are in Christ, the enemy is going to be very scared. Because we can do a lot for Christ when we start to realize who we are and what we are created to be and how much authority we have. Then the enemy has no power. And that's what he's scared about. He doesn't want us to start thinking about those things. It says in John 7:37-38, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." In John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." God wants us to hunger and thirst after him so that we will be so filled with his power and with his anointing and with his spirit in the living water, so that we can go outside of these four walls and just begin to love on people, because it's the overflow that happens when we're out there. The things that we don't realize that's inside of us will start to bubble up. And there's no stopping when the presence of God is on you and you know you have to talk to that person. When you know you have a word for that person, there's no stopping, because it's like a bubble up. You can't stop it. It's the presence of God. It's the overflow of him ministering to you in these secret times, in times in the services, in times in church. So he wants us to hunger and thirst after him. We are his children. He wants to give us good gifts. So the second point is, we will not be hungry for God until we taste of his goodness. That was my problem in the very beginning of my life. I didn't realize, I wasn't focusing on the good things. It's easy in the world today to focus on the bad things, the negative things. It's always easy to focus on everything negative. You know, when I was preparing for my surgery, it's amazing. People were coming out of the woodwork to tell me all of the negative things that could happen, but nobody was telling me anything about the positive. People can't wait to talk to you about bad things. They like to, that's how the enemy allows. That's how the enemy will get to us, is through times like that. In Psalms 34:8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." In Psalms 119:103, is, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey to my mouth." Again, God will never give us bad gifts. He gives good gifts to his children. God is a good God. He is not a bad God. And some people in the world today, they think God is a bad God because of what's going on in the world today and how people have been treated and what they've gone through in life. That's why they think God is a bad God. And that's when we need to stand up and say, you know, you sang it in that song tonight. That was just perfect, man. Perfect, amazing song. About there's an army rising up to break the chains of darkness, to break the chains of shame, to break the chains of sin, everything. And let me tell you, the army is you guys. It's all of us. The army is every single person in this room, every single person in this church. Everybody that knows who they are in Christ, we are the army, and we need to start standing up for who God is. And I know that I'm preaching this to myself, because sometimes it's hard. When you work in secular areas and stuff like that, it's hard. But we have to pray that God gives us the boldness. I know I work at Sears as a jewelry consultant, and we're not allowed to talk about Jesus. But you know what? During Christmas, I did not say happy holidays. I was like, I'm not saying that. And you know what? I don't care if I get fired. Because if I get fired over something like that, that's just silly. And so, but not once did I get in trouble, because I came out about with love. I came about, I always loved the people. I always loved my bosses. If you do everything out of love, God will begin to give you favor in areas where you don't think is possible. In 1 Peter 2:1-3, it says, Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Over and over and over and over again in the Bible, it doesn't say that the Lord is a bad God. It says that the Lord is a gracious God. It says that the Lord is a good God. He's a good father. He wants good things for his children. Again, Satan distorts our perception of who God is so that we won't hunger and thirst after him, so that we won't seek after him. And I believe that this is a barrier in our lives and in our churches and in our world today to hunger. And that needs to be broken by God's revelation. We need to break that barrier by knowing who we are in Christ, by proclaiming that God is a good God, by standing up for what we believe. We need to stop looking at our problems. We need to stop looking at the bad, and we need to start looking at the answer, and the answer is Jesus. Number three is we are too easily satisfied by worldly things. The opposite of hunger is satisfaction. Being full, complacent, and lukewarm. This amazing quote is by John Piper, and when I was researching for my sermon, I came across this and it just blew me away. It says, if we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because we have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with the small things, and there is no room for the great. I'm going to read it again because it's just so powerful. If we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because we have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with the small things, and there is no room for the great. If you think about it, TV, media, music, you can get satisfied with those things instead of spending time with God. It's so easy to, if God wants us to spend time with him and just quiet and just be open to what he has to say to us, it's so easy for the phone to ring. It's so easy to just turn on music and be like, okay, God, speak to me. But sometimes he just wants you to be in the quiet place so that you have no distractions. Because sometimes music is a distraction. TV can be a distraction. The media, I'm sorry, but the media, everything that the media says is all negative. That's all the news is it's all negative. Instead of spending time with our Father, the one who created us. It says in Jeremiah 2:13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold no water." God doesn't want us to be broken. He wants us to be whole so that we can be filled with the living water, that we can be filled with him, so that we can go outside, so we can go to the grocery store, we can go to our jobs and just love on people. He wants to overflow. He wants us to become overflowed with his goodness and love so that we can just release it to others. So that it spills out on others. Even when you're not meaning to, just the love of God just comes out. That there's just something different about you. That people are like, man, I don't understand what's different about her, but I want to know what's going on with her. She's different. And God will give you those opportunities. God longs for a relationship with us. You know, it's just like, it's amazing because I think of it as, you know, picture new parents with a newborn, and they bring the baby home, and then the dad usually has to go back to work. But when the dad goes to work, he can't wait to get home to see his baby. And that's how God is with us. He can't wait to spend time with us. He can't wait for us to just sit at his feet, be like, okay, God, here am I. I'm here. I'm here. It says in Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in secret, in the secret place. And your Father who is in secret, who sees in the secret, will reward you in the open. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Abby, if you can come to the keyboard, please. Thank you. That was my problem. I didn't understand any of those things. I wasn't focusing on the good things that God has for me. I was always focusing on the bad things. I didn't know how to love myself. Remember that God loves us. He wants us to hunger and thirst for more of him. Let's not become like the world and get easily satisfied or easily distracted by the worldly things. If you were like me and you were a Christian and then just life and you lost your hunger for God, just simply start thinking on the good, positive things that God has done for you. Because I'm sure God has done amazing things for each and every one of us. And then just simply ask him for more. And God is not going to turn you down. He's not going to be like, well, I'm not going to give you more because of this, because of that. No, he wants to give us more. We just have to ask. God is the only one who can satisfy our hunger and our thirst. Again, we just have to simply ask him. Right now, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm just going to sing this song over you guys, and then I'm going to pray. So God, we just thank you for this evening, God. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. And God, we're asking for more. Father, we're not satisfied with where we are with you. We're not satisfied in life. We're not satisfied with our relationship, Father. We want more and more and more with you, God. Father, would you just increase right now in every single person's life tonight? Father, do not let them leave the same as they came in this tonight, God, in this room. Father, we just ask that you would just release the presence. Father, the presence of God to consume us right now in this very room, God. Father, let us begin to see things that we've never saw before. Let us begin to hear things that we've never heard before. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give us a boldness, God, that we would not live in fear anymore, God, that the bubbling up of your word, the overflow of your word, God, that it would just come out and it would just pour out wherever we are, God, that we would leave a footprint wherever we walk, that we would leave a footprint of you, Jesus. God, we're asking for more. We just speak increase. Father, your presence, come right now. Come in a new way, God. Come in a new way. Thank you, Jesus. What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? Cause I'll dance a dance for you. I'll pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, beautiful King? What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? 'Cause I'll dance a dance for you. I'll pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, beautiful King? What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? 'Cause I'll dance a dance for you. I'll pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, beautiful King? 'Cause I can't thank you enough. Oh, I can't thank you enough. What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? 'Cause I'll dance a dance for you. I'll pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, beautiful King? What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? What kind of song would you like me to sing? 'Cause I'll dance a dance for you. I'll pour out my love to you. What can I do for you, beautiful King? 'Cause I can't thank you enough. Oh, I can't thank you enough. Oh, I can't thank you enough. Yes, I can't thank you enough. Then I hear you sing to me. You don't have to do a thing. Just simply be with me. Let those things go, 'cause they can wait another minute. Wait, this moment is too sweet. Would you please stay here with me and love on me a little longer? I hear you say you don't have to do a thing. Just simply be with me and let those things go, 'cause they can wait another minute. Wait, this moment is too sweet. Would you please stay here with me? Love on me a little longer. I like to be with you a little longer, 'cause I'm in love with you. You don't have to do a thing. Just simply be with me and let those things go, 'cause they can wait another minute. Wait, this moment is too sweet. Would you please stay here with me and love on me a little longer, 'cause I'm in love with you. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just want to say thank you. Those words just don't seem enough for everything that you've done for us. God, I ask that as we go home to our houses tonight, God, that you would begin to speak to us, that, Father, that you would open our ears to hear what you have to say to us. God, that you would tear down walls tonight, God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would release your presence in every single person in this room. Father, I pray, Lord, that they would begin to experience you like they've never experienced you before. God, I ask that they would begin to hunger and thirst for you like never before. We just thank you. We thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for this evening. As we lay our heads on our pillows, God, I ask that you would speak to every single person. Would you reveal something to each and every one of us tonight, God? In Jesus' name, amen. And at this time, if Jacob, I think is your name? Yeah. Can you just come up and play while we pray a little bit again? And if you just want prayer for healing, or if you just want simply prayer for just an increase with your relationship with God, my team is up here, and we'd be happy to pray for every single person. Thank you again, Mark and Pastor Tim, and the leadership of this church. Thank you for opening this. It's been amazing. Thank you.